Welcome to the Straight Up Small Business Podcast. I'm Beck Buchanan, accountant turned bookkeeping business owner. I'm passionate about small businesses like yours, and I create this weekly podcast to support and inspire you to make the next best decision in your business journey. Hey, welcome to episode 85 of the Straight Up Small Business Podcast. I'm so pleased that you decided to join me. The podcast actually had a record number of downloads last week, so I'm really pleased with that result and glad I'm getting in the ears of people who are needing to hear this content, and I'm just going to keep churning it out for you. Thank you for listening. Before we kick off, let me please acknowledge the Kujumbura people of the Bundjalung Nation, whose land I am on whilst recording this episode. I recognise their continuing connection to lands, waters and communities, and I pay my respects to elders past and present. Today, I'm going to talk about rejection and how to bounce back from it. I've just gone through a rejection and I've had a few in my time since starting my business, so I have a perspective that I feel is worth sharing, and I'm great at turning lemons into lemonade, as they say. So I want to share how to turn rejection into a positive experience in this episode, and in fact, why you must try and always try and turn negative experiences into something positive so that running a business doesn't break your spirit. So, a summary of my recent rejection experience is that a prospective client applied to work with us. We took this client on, and a month later, it was clear for both of us that things weren't working out. It was a mutual rejection, I guess, but as I'm not used to clients not being extremely happy with the bookkeeping services that my company provides, this experience was a bit of a shock for me. It took me by surprise. Let me provide some backstory. To become a client of my business, Straight Up Bookkeeping, prospective clients need to fill in a form that helps us to gauge if they will be a good fit. And the form fill will actually help the applicant to work out whether they want to proceed applying to work with us. The form covers things like, we ask you to send us receipts so that we can bookkeep properly. Will that be okay with you? Our minimum monthly fee is X amount of dollars. Can you sustain that for 12 months? Anti-money laundering laws require us to check your driver's license or some other form of ID. Is that going to be okay with you? We ask you not to mix business and personal expenses in your business bank accounts. Is that going to be okay with you, etc.? After the form fill, we have a discovery call, or I always have the discovery call with a prospective client to see if we're still a good fit. And if we both agree the fit is good, we move forward with onboarding and then start to do the bookkeeping. It's all usually very straightforward, and the form fill means that most people I end up talking to in a discovery call setting end up being clients because the not so good fits don't tend to make it that far. But recently, I onboarded a new client who wasn't a good fit as I ignored some red flags along the way. Flags such as concerns about maintaining the cost of our services for more than 3 months, let alone 12 months, and the prospect worrying about the value that they would get from us as a sole business owner would not be as high as a larger organization using our services. And they were also worried about the time it would take them to photograph receipts to give to us. I ignored all of these warnings because I really liked the person when I spoke to them. And honestly, because once someone gets to a discovery call with me, I'm kind of used to closing the deal. Maybe the ego gets involved. I don't know. I'm going to reflect on that. But yeah, I'm used to closing the deal and I feel good at the end when I know that we're bringing on a wonderful new client. I think this person ignored red flags of their own because it was clear tech was a big part of working with us, but they proceeded to apply even though they didn't like tech. And I think they thought I would be doing the bookkeeping rather than members of my team. And I just don't think they were ready to part with the monthly retainer fee that it costs to work with us. But I can't really speak on their behalf, so I'll stop doing it. I'm just assuming, so I'd best not make up any more stories based on those assumptions. Long story short, we gave it a go together for a month and the relationship went quite pear-shaped. We displeased the client in a few ways, especially with our use of apps like Dext and Carbon and Google Drive, and our approach to bookkeeping, which is based on the pure bookkeeping method, which we really advertise as our superpower, really didn't land with the client. We also sent an email after hours trying to deliver something on time, but this created stress for the client. We parted ways amicably enough, agreeing that we just weren't a good fit for each other. I refunded the monthly fee that we had been paid, and I copped the loss of around 12 hours of bookkeeping work that we'd invested for no payment in the end. Straight after the closure, I had a bit of a cry because I'm a Pisces and crying is how I work through things. And because despite the red flags I've mentioned, I really do care and I take these sorts of things, at least in part, a little bit personally. But then I gathered myself and thought, okay, there are lessons here. What are they? Let's get some goodness out of this bad experience. And here is what I've come up with and I want to share it with you today. So number one is to have a positive mindset, back yourself and be resilient in the face of rejection. As I said, I do take things personally and I don't have a thick skin. So when someone says you're not awesome, I feel sad and I ruminate on it. Being quite busy these days, I have plenty to keep on with and take my mind off things. But I do recall in the early days of my business when landing one extra client meant the absolute world, if I didn't end up signing them on, I would wonder about why they didn't sign up for days. I'd make a business matter really personal and make up so many stories in my head that really had no basis whatsoever because I just didn't have enough information to make up those stories. I've become wiser since then, and now I understand that I am not my business. And I want you to understand this as well. You are not your business. If something goes wrong in your business, it doesn't mean you as a human are less than. I actually listened to Denise Duffield Thomas's book, Chill and Prosper, a few months ago, and she talks about how being asked to give refunds is actually a sign that you're doing really well and your business is getting bigger, and refunds are an inevitable part of growth. So now that I've had my first refund experience, I'm taking it as a sign my business is going to the next level and that it's a really good thing. And my tip to you is to cultivate your business resilience by not taking business happenings and feedback personally, and encourage you to leave your ego out of this stuff. Having a resilient mindset can help you achieve future business success by being able to turn negative situations into positive outcomes. So have faith in your ability to perform and succeed in future and not judge yourself by situations that haven't panned out perfectly in the present or in the past. Number two is to understand why the rejection occurred. Despite my advice to have a positive mindset and be resilient in the face of rejection, don't be so positive that you fail to tune into learning why the rejection occurred. Listen to the constructive feedback you receive and let it register. If you aren't given feedback, ask for it when it feels safe for you to do so. Don't let the opportunity to understand why the situation occurred get away from you without understanding why it happened. Strap on your big girl or boy business pants and lean into learning about what caused the situation. You may not agree with the person's reasons for rejecting or not liking your product or services, but they certainly believe their view of the situation to be real. So give consideration to their feedback and let it land over a week or so, marinating in your mind, where I'm sure you will have epiphanies about their feedback in due course. Make notes and come back to them after a week or so when emotions have calmed down and look at the feedback objectively. See if you can come around to seeing the other person's point of view or at least understand how they came to feel like that. Number three is look for the opportunity in the situation. Once you understand the reasons, try and turn them into opportunities to improve your business systems and/or processes or get clearer on your offerings or ideal client avatar for future dealings. Know that constructive feedback, though hard to hear at times, is much more valuable than glowing feedback. Good feedback might tell you that you're doing well, but it doesn't offer much guidance on how to elevate your performance. Constructive feedback, on the other hand, pinpoints areas that need attention and suggests ways to make improvements. It's an invaluable tool for learning, development, and progress. I see constructive feedback as a gift. You might even be able to imagine the feedback received applying to customers or clients who love and appreciate your business, who might benefit from some tweaking of your products or services. In my situation, I really stand by the way we do things. We have over 50 retainer clients who are very happy with the tech we use and the support we give them. So I'm not about to go and change our tech stack or the systems that have allowed me to scale my business. Nor am I about to step back into being a bookkeeping technician just because clients want to work with me. My superpower is in leading a team and growing our business so we can have more impact. But I am giving thoughtful consideration to how we can more clearly explain to prospective clients what working with us looks like and feels like, so there are really no surprises. I thought I had that landed, but it looks like I have to do a bit more work on it. And I'm reviewing our language and onboarding processes and forms. I'm also reflecting on who our ideal clients are and why I lost sight of that in this case and how it cost us time, money, and a bit of a roller coaster of emotions as a result. As my business scales and grows, it's important that I, as the leader and holder of discovery calls, get this right. I'm also looking at the times we send emails to clients and the impact that might have on them if it's received after hours, and continuously training my team up on how to be empathetic with our clients. If you receive an email with this message in it, how would you feel? Dealing with numbers all day long can leave us a bit numb to their meaning if we're not careful. It's important for us bookkeepers to understand that these numbers are our clients' blood, sweat, and tears, and they can mean financial freedom or financial hardship depending on what way the numbers are flowing. So we need to be mindful of this with every communication we engage in that has a number involved. Number four is consider implementing some changes from the learnings or getting further feedback and then implementing some changes. So once you have gleaned an understanding of why the situation occurred and tried to see the opportunities it presented you with, then consider implementing some changes to improve your business at this point. Or perhaps it might be better to go and get some more feedback from other customers or clients who have been satisfied with your offerings to date to see if they feel the same or have other perspectives. I once acted on a piece of constructive feedback from one client of ours who said they felt spammed by the gentle reminders that our workflow system was sending them to ask them for documentation at month end. This was in the early days of my business, and when I got this feedback, I freaked out at the time and turned the system off for every client, not just the one who had complained about it. Only to reintroduce the system years later and have other clients at that time say how much they loved the reminders that they were getting, as it kept them on track in their busy workday and they knew exactly what we required of them to get our bookkeeping tasks done. If I'd surveyed all of my clients at that time years ago, I doubt I would have acted in the way that I did, turning off the workflow system based on the feedback from one client. But because I was quick to react and took it personally, I guess I overreacted. It's from learnings like this that we now send yearly feedback forms to all of our clients asking for their radically honest opinion on our services and the value that they get from them. It's a nerve-wracking thing to do, as we even ask our clients to rate us out of 10. But it's so important that we don't just keep churning out our services year after year without asking our clients how they are finding them and whether we are delighting our clients. Obtaining wide and balanced feedback is useful before implementing any drastic changes in your business, but I would consider making some small improvements year on year based on feedback or your own business growth desires in order to continuously improve or evolve your business with the times. Number five, and lastly, move on and don't dwell. Once you have turned your business lemons into lemonade, the way I've been describing, give yourself permission to move on. Business isn't for the faint-hearted, and if you started out as a faint-hearted entrepreneur, don't worry, you won't be for long. Hard conversations are part of doing business, and so are hard things. And always remember, you can do hard things. I encourage you to thank the universe for the gift of rejection, constructive feedback, or a refund request, whatever it may be in your case. Acknowledge that it has helped your business to be slightly or drastically better than it was before you entered into that situation, and then move right along, continuing to pursue your business dreams. Also, be sure not to perceive one person's perspective as summing up how the world sees your business. Thank you for listening to my thoughts on how to navigate rejection in one's business journey. If you're early in the stages of your business, I hope I can help you to cut through wasting too much time dwelling on negative things that happen. And if you're more seasoned than me and have other tips to add on dealing with business rejection, feel free to email or message me on social media to let me know your thoughts. I would love to hear from you or any podcast listeners. Have a wonderful week, come what may, and I will catch you next time.